For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. We'll jump right in here with a news story about Disney, and surprisingly, it is not a woke as a joke-ness thing that they have been finding themselves in lately. Because I do believe, and I've talked about this before, like wokeness, it started off as a good thing of being socially aware of injustices, absolutely. But to me, wokeness has become a joke because the people that have taken it to its extreme level where you can never be politically correct enough for them, and they're offended at everything, and then so now nothing matters, you know, like I'm offended, I don't care, like my job is not to not offend you, you know.
Being offended has always seemed like an exhausting thing to do when you hop from one bandwagon to the next, and again, I totally agree that being passionate, all for it, but just sounds tiring.
Spending every day offended is the same as spending every day angry.
Yeah, how are
they're
you,
exhausting.
Where do you find happiness?
Yeah, like I don't get offended by things, you know. I like, oh, okay, whatever. But like I do get angry at stuff. And I've realized, and I've seen it in myself, that anger is exhausting. When you find yourself being mad about everything every minute of the day, you have to kind of keep that in check. And I do have to, like, guard myself and go, okay, now wait, you're making statements in your head about being frustrated or angry about something that's really not a big deal. Why are you doing that? You know, you gotta reset and recenter. But anyway, back to Disney. They're adding 275-megawatt solar systems, like solar arrays, to their renewable energy portfolio. Oh, here's why I found this interesting. It's doing these solar farms will produce 40% of the park's electricity.
Nice.
Now, these are amazing. You know, like Disney's an electric hog. Like it has its own electric plant, you know, because they're running so much stuff down there. And so it's fascinating that it would be 40%. Like they have some now that do about 10%. And it's so funny. Like they made these arrays shaped like giant Mickey heads.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they did.
Like, oh, well done.
It's really cool. They even have, if you're leaving Disney property, and you have electric poles. They have this one big electric pole where these massive lines run through, and it's shaped like Mickey Mouse's head just sitting up there, you know, 100 feet in the air.
When they eventually own the whole world, I feel like everything will be Mickey shaped.
I know, and my wife would be so happy with that. but yeah, so it's kind of crazy. Like they're doing it to, you know, get to a point where by 2030 they want to be zero emissions, and they're committed to the environment and sustainability, which I honestly think is great. Like I'm not that person that is like, no, I only want fossil fuels. I think that fossil fuels have a place. I think that the idea of getting rid of them so quickly and putting your hopes in technology that's not there yet or is not cost effective yet is putting the cart before the horse a little bit. But working towards that is great. But there's so many other things that need to happen. I would love to have an electric vehicle. I really would. I'd be great. The torque on them is fantastic. Like, they're fast. And so, like, for me, if I had an electric truck, I'd be like, this is great. But I don't want to travel with an electric vehicle more than its range because it is a giant pain. You have to stop and recharge for over 30 minutes. And in doing so, it's not like waiting 5 minutes for someone to fill up their tank. You got to wait 30 minutes for someone to leave the station if you can't get there. And so there's all these challenges with it that they fully haven't addressed yet. And the big one is cost. Like, you cannot tell people, you're just doing this to save the environment and charge me three times the other thing is worth. It's not. It's never going to take. We're not wired that way.
And none of those cars are on these, like, used lots where people who do need to buy something on the cheaper end can go to.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see how many years it will actually take to eliminate gas engines, or will we ever? I'm not a futurist. I'm horrible at predicting the future. I really am. Like, I, you know, dreamed about having a watch that you could talk to on your wrist, but I never thought it was possible. And then you've got your Apple Watch, you know. But, like, I just am curious, will there ever be a time at which that becomes a new thing? Or do they figure a new form of fuel that works better, you know, hydrogen or whatever. I don't know. But it is interesting to see where we're going. But there's so much stuff left to do. Did you know that these new solar arrays, though, this is another thing with them, they're not small. They take up 1,000 acres.
The machinery is big?
Yeah, the arrays, the actual things, the black things that you see the sun baking.
That's a lot of land.
Takes up 1,000 acres to do that.
That's huge.
So, I mean, I guess if you're at 40%, if you took up 2,000 acres, you could have almost, you know, 100% of your stuff done. But yeah, it does eat up some space for sure. Let me see here. Selena Gomez. She has opened up about her own struggles with depression and anxiety, and she was a Disney kid, a Disney product. And so many of those kids did not come out unscarred from that environment, whether it's Disney or just childhood stars.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you, like, what's your, if you had to give a short take on why it happens, like, why do these kids who seem like they've got it all, like, bounce in a weird direction afterwards?
Because they got it all, you know, adults. There's not, because you're taking kids and putting them in a situation where they are forced to be around a bunch of adults, act like adults, manage a business like adults, which is themselves, and they're in a position where kids' brains aren't ready to be yet.
Sure.
You know, and when you don't have people that are insulating you and letting you continue to be a kid, I think that is the byproduct. The ones that had really good structure around them, you didn't see implode as much like that. The ones where the family was broken, you watched them implode too, you know. I think that that's it. You take some college athlete that's right out of high school or right out of college, or you take a kid that's right out of high school and you move him into the pros and you pay him $25 million. You don't know what to do with that.
No.
Like, you're not prepared for that. There's so much that comes with it.
Well, it's more than enough to really take care of your family. Because a lot of, I think, like, athletes per se go and they pursue the money because they're like, I'm just going to set my family up for as long as possible. Or I've just never knew money, so I want to take care of them. But that's, you know, it's like $25 million goes way beyond that.
I started watching a show on Netflix called Million Dollar Wheels. And I think Jamie Foxx produced it. But it's about these high-end car dealers. And these people buying, you know, $500,000 cars at the drop of a hat, buying $1 million cars, and you're like, oh my gosh, that is an amazing, amazing house, you know? Mm-hmm. And they are like, oh, it's one of 10 cars that they have. Ooh. The money that flows through these people is amazing out in California. I lived out there for a while and got to see it. I have a friend of mine that is a millionaire and he sells boxes because everything you get comes in a box.
Like cardboard boxes?
Yeah, he provides the boxes to all these companies and he's a millionaire many times over, you know?
I think my favorite... I'm sure this guy is a millionaire, but it's in a movie where the guy says, oh yeah, I invented the thing that goes on a coffee cup that keeps your hand from burning.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a millionaire. I'm like, man, just bravo to the people who made the most simple objects.
Oh, absolutely.
And made them first.
You know, and so I think that to answer your question, though, I think that the big problem why kids go off the rails is they don't have the system around them. Greed gets in there. You know, parents get in there. And then stage parents. I mean, that's another issue of it as well. And pushing your kids to be great, you know, and to be this actor. And you think you're doing the right thing for them. you know, but then when you look at some of the consequences, the Demi Lovatos of the world, yeah. and even Selena Gomez, you know, who, you know, struggled with this stuff. Well, to combat some of that, she started this thing. She says it's a place of inclusive fun. It's an easy place where people can come together, explore, discuss, and navigate their feelings, and it's called Wonder Mind. And so it's her mom, a couple other people, and it's not just for people who have a diagnosed mental illness. It's for anyone who has feelings. Well, I'm out. It's for anyone.
That's so inclusive.
Yeah, who's ever felt sad, lonely, scared, anxious. We're not about labeling people. And so what is it? It's an online thing where it offers resources like daily content and tools and exercises that allow subscribers to navigate these resources to improve one's mental health.
I feel like this one is a... because they're not promising that they're going to fix people. They're saying that they have a space that's open for people to come and express what they're going through. But right. I do like that, you know, positivity. I feel like there's a lot of room for, and we've talked about this before, like it's a lot of room for people who are going through negative stuff to all just come together and talk about their negative stuff not find solutions or not.
They did address that. They said this is not a replacement for a therapist.
Okay, good.
But just like working out your body, it's important to work out your mind as well. I will say this. I think the interesting thing and maybe one of the healthiest things that she did was a form of self-therapy, and whether she was cognizant of it at the time is this, she stepped away from social media and the internet. Despite having like 300 million followers on Instagram, she walked away. And that's a lot of money on Instagram, too, that you can make. And she said, I've been off the internet for 4.5 years now, and it changed my life. It changed my life completely. I'm happier. I'm more present. I connect with people. I understand how powerful the internet is in so many ways. It's done the best things for the world. But for me, I get the news that actually is important to me through the people in my life. And I think that that's it, man. The balance. When I go on vacation and I get to step out of news and I get to step out of social media for a week, I feel so much better.
Oh, sure.
Unfortunately, my job kind of keeps me around it and in it, and keeps me frustrated by it, you know, and you have to know yourself. If you're a person that doesn't handle this stuff well, then it's like her stepping out of it could be the best mental thing for you. And you know, who cares? Like, if you don't know what's going on in social media, like, you're going to survive. You're going to be fine and maybe even actually thrive, maybe actually even be better. If you watch other people's posts and it makes you envious or, you know, jealous or angry, then that is not a healthy place for you to be in, you know?
I do think that when you step away from social media, you realize just how much your world is small, per se, and that, like, what you can impact is really sometimes just like the person right next to you and like a family member or a friend or something like that.
Well, I get so burnt on, like we talked about at the beginning of the Aftercast, all the wokeness, and I get drawn into the frustration and anger of it. And like this past, like 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation, I was completely out of it. I was great. Oh my God. Gosh, I was so light and I felt so good. And I got home and I mean, literally, because we were on a cruise, I didn't have the internet package, so I was off the grid in essence. And I came home, turned on my phone, and instantly there was like 3 news stories that I found myself like going, come on, like getting frustrated by again. And I wish that I could just completely check out and not care about them and go live in a cabin in the woods in Alaska. It'd be great. But I can't do that. That's not my career. So I have to find the way to balance that personally. You know, I've got to then go, well, maybe I don't need to do as much social media stuff or, you know, somehow find a way to manage the frustration by the world that I just don't get anymore.
Or you can sign up for Wonder Mind.
I know.
Talk to Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I could do that. I don't think that's going to happen. If I haven't made it to therapy yet, I don't think Wonder Mind's going to be my thing. But maybe someday. And you know what? And I'm not making light of it because whatever it is for people that helps them get through and cope, whether it is therapy or whether it's something like this or faith, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think that kind of like how I chose to navigate COVID, like you do you, boo, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the same way about therapy. Like I don't feel that it's for me personally, but I would never tell someone not to go. My daughter's gone, you know, and there are things that helped her work through that I would not have been the best person to help her work through that because I come from a different generation. I was raised differently. I processed the world differently, and it would have just been a source of frustration for both of us, you know? And so for me, I'm like, good, I'm glad you went. I'm glad that was a good thing for you. It was a season in her life, and it helped her give her some perspective to move forward, and now she's done that, you know, and now it's done for her, you know? So I would never begrudge anybody going. I think it's a good thing. I will say this. It's interesting for me personally because, you know, like Betty's gone this week. Betty has been busting my chops for years. You got to go to therapy. You should go to therapy. You need therapy. And I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't feel that I need it. Like, I feel the rest of the world might need therapy. And she's like, wait, what? Like, that tells me you're messed up. I'm like, no, not really. I might be right. But I have this weird thing. There are certain people in my life and the radio. Like, the radio is truth serum for me. Like, I'll talk about anything here. I love it. But like with Pastor Chad, who works here with us, and he is part of the prayer wall and the prayer team, he's a guy that if we just sit down and we're just talking, because he and I are wired very similarly, and he's super open about his family and sometimes the mess that is involved in that, which I uber respect, because so many pastors hide all of that because they need to keep up appearances because they'll get judged and it can affect other people. And he's like, look, this is it. But he's a guy that I can sit down with and I find like me just riffing and telling sure. him stuff. And I that's how I picture therapy. Like, I'm like, okay, if I had somebody like that, I could maybe see, you know, sharing things that I think or feel. And so we just kind of do that in the hall, you know, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, for some people, therapy makes a lot of sense because not everyone has good people to bounce things off sure. of or to self, what is it called? Like, just like understand yourself. Like, you know.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah, like you yeah. have emotional intelligence.
Sure.
I think I have emotional intelligence. I think Betty has emotional intelligence, but yeah. not everyone wants to, or feels like comfortable giving right. themselves the answers, right. I think.
Well, that's the thing. Like, she's told me stuff before and I'm like, I know what my problems are.
Yeah.
I literally know what the problems in my life are and what needs to happen for me to be in a better place, but I'm not in that place where I want to do it yet.
Yeah.
You know, like I've counseled people. I've been on both sides of the fence and like, I'm like, hey, here's what you need to do. And so like, I'm smart enough to know what my issues are. It's like that Rush song. He's a new world man. He's wise enough to win the world, but fool enough to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and I love that quote, but like, and that's like, I know what's going on. I know what I should do, but I can't always make that decision. Just like in the Bible with Paul saying, why do I do the things I know I shouldn't do? And I do the things that I know I should, or I don't do the things I know I should do. And I do the things I know I shouldn't, you know, it's that nature of us and my own stubbornness.
That's probably the best description of humanity that the Bible can like offer. And it helps you realize that like, yeah, anyone back in the Bible, they were just as messed up and confused and weird and depressed and, you know,
like if
awesome
Paul
as we
struggled
are.
With that, the guy who is like one of the authors of Christianity, you know, if he struggled with that, you have to know, oh, well, that makes sense that I still, you know, wrestle through that as well. And I have my own wrestles with God and the way that he does things and the things that I don't understand and the questions that I can't fully grasp, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that definitely holds me in certain places, but it's also the stuff that doesn't have an answer.
Yeah,
like you can't
true.
Like the stuff of God, there's things that you can't go to somebody and, oh, this is the answer, because it's things that our minds cannot comprehend, and that's where faith comes in.
And that's when you have to be okay with, yeah, not knowing the answer, yeah.
and
faith covers
and,
it.
Yeah, and when I'm not, that's when I struggle more. So anyway, do you have any birthdays?
I do.
Nice.
I got Lori, Eric, and Faith are wishing Bree. It's B-R-E. I'm going to say that.
Brett.
We're going to wish our sister Brett.
Guillermo, which is Brett.
Okay, they said Bree. Brett is an amazing sister and aunt to baby Faith. She's a full-time ministry and loves listening to the podcast while she works.
Nice. Well, we appreciate that for sure.
Okay, question, because you just went on a vacation, but what is the best vacation that you've ever been on and why?
Ooh, Like, Gavin, you probably haven't taken a bunch of, like, you've never been out of the country, right?
No, I haven't. Okay. I don't even know how I don't know how to get a passport. Yeah. I'm not going
to
lie.
You have to go to the post office of all places.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never guess that.
Yeah. Most post offices have a passport office in them. So you're young. Like, when I was your age, I hadn't taken many trips at all either. I think my first trip out of the country was to London. I went for a rock festival, and that was an amazing experience.
That sounds awesome.
I think I was 26, maybe. And so that was my first time out of the country, and it was awesome. But that kind of sparked a thing for travel for me, and I love traveling. For me, I like vacations, and going out of the country are great, but I'll tell you, the best trips I've had have been the worst trips. The ones that were with blood water and traveling through Africa, or with Cure International, or with Compassion, and going and being part of the ministry that's going on in these places, and staying in these horrible huts, and staying in a hotel one time that was a $7 a night hotel. You got that was generous.
Like, I bought sandwiches more than that.
Dude, it was bad. I turned on the water and brown came out. Oh. And you're like, and no hot water and stuff. Like, so some of my worst trips, like comfort wise, were my best trips ever. Like, in the things that I saw and the people that I met, just were amazing. And I miss going out of the country. And so hopefully now that COVID is somewhat chilling out, like, we'll get back to doing some of these partnerships with these other ministries. And I really want to get out of the country. My favorite just fun trip was Italy. Like, I loved it. Venice was my favorite. It was so cool to see this place and how they live. That's what I'm always amazed at, how people live. They live differently. And when you get out of the country, you see a difference in that, and it's kind of cool, and also how they think too, which is really cool. But Gavin, so what's your best vacation?
I would say that there was a trip that we took after I graduated high school. So this is back when I wasn't married. This was with my family. We went to Charleston.
All your wife just heard was your best vacation was without me.
I don't think she listens to this, but
that's how women process things.
Oh, okay. Well, here, yeah. Let me change this.
Yeah, that's all she would hear.
Our
if
honeymoon
she listened to this.
Was my favorite vacation.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go.
I mean, I'll speak about both. I mean, honeymoon vacation.
Where'd
was
you go?
Universal Studios.
Oh, that's right.
Because
oh,
I emailed you guys about
you
it.
You emailed us before. A picture of you and her from there when we were still trying to decide on what we were going to do hiring wise.
Shout out to my mom for saying, like, they might like that you would do that,
yeah,
and it might prove that you're human. I'm like, okay. That's...
Even though it was Harry Potter, which is the devil's spawn.
You could have rejected me right there.
Absolutely. That was a risk on your part, but it paid off for you.
So that was a really good trip. It was a tough one, though, because Haley was, like, super, like, congested and sick. So we were in this pre-COVID, but we were just walking around in, like, the hot sun. Even though it was December, it was still hot in Florida, and she's just like... the whole time. So
yeah,
that was
my
that.
Wife got real sick on our honeymoon on the way home, and we left early.
Oh yeah,
it was a bad day.
But the Charleston trip was cool. We did a bunch of stuff. We did like sailing, not like the sailing that you did on your last one, but it was like one of those things where there's like kind of two sides.
It's
of
a catamaran.
It. Yeah, a little trampoline thing in the middle. So
yeah, Hobie Cat.
Okay, so love that. Did some whitewater rafting, which That's is still fun. One of my passions. And then we did some deep sea fishing, and we caught like some little sharks, which was neat. That was another tiny bladder trip, though, because we were out on the water.
Yeah.
No bathroom. Boats swaying, and I'm like...
Do what you do.
Hanging. Couldn't.
Oh.
Too much pressure. Too much pressure, and the boat was moving. I was like, I don't want to fall off a boat while going to the bathroom.
Yeah, because you're supposed to jump in.
I know.
That's how you do that.
I just did.
I grew up in the water.
Yeah, so. I know. Did not, so... That was a good trip with the family, though.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. We're getting every day closer to Friday, and Betty Rock being back here, and we'll do this again tomorrow with the Aftercast. Thanks for being a potty.